You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO Palm City.
Welcome to A Biblical Response. In this hour, we invite you to take a journey with us to the heart of some of the hot-button issues of our day. What is behind these issues? How are Christians supposed to respond to them? Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart." So join us now as we bring God's word to bear on the narratives and the news that threaten our peace and cast darkness on our land.
Good morning. Good morning out there. And I was going to say something stupid like listener land. Well, that's us radio folks. Sometimes we're, you know, they don't let us out much.
That's all right.
But at any rate, glad to have you with us this morning. It's a lot of, we're going to have a lot of fun. We have fun doing this. And,
yes.
And also, I mean, it blesses my heart to be able to bring to our listeners the content, you know, that the Lord opens up to us about things that we think are important. I believe he thinks are important. Amen. And we're going to do our best to do that today. Before we get into what's in the news and how we're going to unpack it, I must introduce, and I love to introduce my co-host, because it's great to work with this wonderful team. I will, before I do the ones who are here in the studio, just to say, Ann Lomhoko is still, she's probably coming back from her hiking trip to Canada with her family. They had a great time. Saw some really neat pictures. I'd love to have gone up there myself. But at any rate, I know that they had a good time together as a family. So we'll maybe hopefully have Ann back here next week.
Good.
And then Stephanie Jacobson, who hasn't been with us for a while, but her ministry has taken her away. And we know she's doing the Lord's work in many places, and that's wonderful. We may have her back in July at some point for one of the programs. So that's great. And I told her, I said, your chair has not been taken away. We'll get keeping a chair warm for you whenever you can come back. So that's great to hear that she's doing so well. And keep praying for Stephanie, because you know, her ministry really bringing the truth of abortion and God's freedom to the post-abortive women.
Yes.
And also speaking to the church about getting more involved in that. That's a pretty significant ministry. And there's a certain amount of pushback from people you wouldn't expect.
Right.
Anyway, so, but today we have with us my two. This is the guys, just the guys here the last couple of weeks.
Men's Cave.
Men's Cave,
yeah.
Right.
Men's Cave today.
And that's Keith Masters, whom I was going to welcome first. Keith.
Good morning, David.
Good to see you.
Good to be here. Blessed to be here.
Amen.
Shout out to my brother. My brother, J.W., he's up in Michigan visiting family.
Oh, okay.
So we're going to shout out to him if he's listening.
J.W., God bless you,
yeah,
brother.
Yeah, he's a loyal listener, so.
Didn't he call?
He did.
He did, yeah, he did. That's great, last
he
week.
He did, and our friend Greg.
Greg
called. He's on his journey with the Lord.
Oh, praise God. Yeah, well, God bless you, man.
So he's learning. He's a babe.
Good.
He's a babe.
It's a great learning experience.
Yeah.
Just trust the Lord and surround yourself with, you know, good, faithful followers of Christ.
Amen.
And speaking of faithful followers of Christ, Lance Winkler, good morning.
Good morning, David. You know what I need to do?
What's that?
I need to pressure some of my friends to be loyal listeners of this program so I can shout out to somebody.
Well, you know.
Exactly.
I'm going to be honest here, Lance. A lot of my friends, they don't listen.
All right.
I don't mean that negatively, but I'm like, did you listen to the show? I'm too busy. I can't do this.
Yeah.
Take time out of your day to listen.
You know, I'm going to shout out to my wife.
There you go.
Because she has been
listen.
Faithful.
Yeah.
And I asked her, I said, did you listen to the show? Well, of course not, she says. And then she goes, what do you think? Of course I did.
Well,
yes,
you know,
my wife, Kelly.
The real purpose is for feedback.
Mm-hmm,
that I can get from my Christian friends,
right,
to get some feedback on what they're thinking,
that's right,
and how it came across to them,
right? Can we get better?
Ideas and opinions, right?
And that's a good point.
Counsel,
because my wife certainly does it. She listens too. So shout out to Cynthia,
right?
Thank you for all that you do for me. And so she probably is listening, and yeah, she'll give me some commentary at lunchtime when I go back about that. But I'm just, you know, that's a good thing for our listeners now. And we'd love to have your feedback.
Mm-hmm.
We will listen to it. We do invite you to call, and we'll be making that invitation close to the break time. But in general, if you're a regular listener and maybe you like what we're doing, the style of it, the way they present, maybe something you don't like, maybe some suggestions for change, you know, we're open. Mm-hmm. You can, we can certainly call the station at 772-221-1100. You could also send an email to us through the website. You go on the website, WCNO.com. There'll be a means where you can see it on the homepage. Or you can just send an email, and here's the address, WCNO at, guess what, WCNO.com.
Right. Let's imagine it.
We tried to make it, you know, pretty approachable.
Yeah.
But if you'll do that, WCNO at WCNO.com, in the subject line, put a biblical response, commentary, or something like that, and just share your thoughts. You can be as critical as you want or as supportive as you want. Either way, your opinion, we appreciate that. You're welcome to it. And
I just had some recall here from this morning when I stopped off. I stopped off at Dunkin' Donuts this morning.
He certainly did. I did. Thank you.
Yeah. No thanks.
Yeah,
no
thanks, which is a habit of mine coming to the station.
It's great.
But I saw a fellow street witness, John.
Really?
Okay, yeah. And he's got a Jeep. He's got Jesus Saves on his Jeep. And he's a street witness. He carries the cross around in town. And we've been out on the street together. And he listens to the program as well. And he said, you guys talk about news.
Yeah, yeah.
And he goes, you got to talk about Jesus.
Yes, right.
Yeah, but John, it's a dark world out there. And we're sharing Jesus against the dark world.
In the darkness.
Right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
It's about getting knowledge, right, mm-hmm. of the Lord. Because what's the program called? It's called A Biblical Response.
Right.
And it's a biblical response to the Word of God, to what's going on in the events of the world today.
In the darkness.
And again, you know, the vision.
In the darkness, mm-hmm. right.
The vision that got this show off the ground was, in so many people, and as long as I've been a pastor, 40 years or more, and dealing with people in the church environment, and, you know, all the time people come up to me and say, I saw this in the news, I saw that in the news, how do I respond to it? And a lot of them I would have to say, well, if you'd read your Bible more, and do more praying, God would speak to you through that. But even so, there are Christians that, for whatever reason, they don't know how to respond to it. Well, the Bible has the means whereby, you know, we can access God's will for how do we do anything. And so that's part of what we're doing. We're looking at the news, one item in the news, of course, about all we can handle per week. We are then trying to dig deep into where that leads us. So the news item itself is not a standalone piece, that it kind of calls us to look deeper into the issues going on right. in that news item. And then, of course, while we're doing that, we're going to bring in some scripture. You know, some people have said, you don't do enough scripture. And I say, look, you know, there has to be a balance. But here's the thing. You hear scripture, you want to know more, guess what? You go to your Bible and you go to your prayer closet and bring them both together and ask God to show you more. We try to give you some, okay? But all of this is, the bottom line is, God has given us the mission of putting out in the airwaves. We pray that we're being led by the Spirit. We do believe we are. And so that as we're guided, what you're hearing and the guidance you're getting is for you. Mm-hmm. To take the next step
yes.
in your personal life, in your relationship with God, is you want to know more, ask God.
Yeah, we're not the ultimate source.
We're not the ultimate source, and we're not answering all your questions.
Right.
Okay, but that we're going to do what we can.
Yeah.
So having said that.
Yeah, yeah.
I
think that was a great beginning to what we're doing today.
Thank you, Keith. And I think every now and then it's good for someone to say, well, the essential call that God put on our life is thus and so.
Yeah.
What is the basic vision that got us going? And then it also helps us to remember to be true to the vision, too. And you know, and so for the listeners to kind of expect us to do that. Today, and what's been in the news, is we're seeing more and more democratic socialist and backslash maybe in parentheses communist individuals. That's their ideology. Many are within the Democratic Party and that part of the party that claims socialism is the ultimate narrative.
Coming into government ideology. Yeah, coming into government
and
office.
That is the ideology they carry into their work if they are elected, and many have been already. That's the ideology that they, that's in front of them when they work with other people, when they think of lawmaking and all the other things that they do. And there are more running, and so the news has been carrying, in fact, New York mayor, supported as three people in New York running for office that have won primaries because of his support, and he himself is a democratic socialist. So the point, and we're, if anything, as we dive down into that, is to reiterate the concerns we have expressed in previous programs about this kind of ideology proliferating in government.
Yeah.
And to also say, it'll be said again in a much better way, but to say that American government, based on the Constitution, is antithetical to socialism slash communism. Those are two disparately different ideologies. They don't work. They don't work at all together. But when socialism is managed to come bring influence into American government at whatever level, it creates problems. And this nation was not based on socialism at all. And we'll talk again more about that. But so this is why we're looking at these news items and how these ideologies shape political platforms and policies. And those are the things that make laws, influence the content of law and the enforcement of law. And so this is, we're raising the alarm, and we will be going. Part of our commentary, of course, will be scriptural. So having said all that, I've given you the basis. I want to ask Lance to carry this one step further and several miles deeper.
Right. Well, I'm not sure. Miles before we sleep.
Right.
Yeah, you can't really talk about socialism without talking about its roots and its expositor, the person that has presented it to the world, and that's through Karl Marx. And I know people have heard about Marxism, have heard about Karl Marx. Karl Marx is the, he's not the source of socialism, but he is the one who designed, was around the design of it and being able to push it into society. So I want to talk a little bit about Karl and his basic beliefs, his basic ideas that led him to a political exercise called socialism. And he's a Jewish fellow born in a Jewish family. His father, though, was converted to Lutheranism. So early on, he had some Lutheran and some Christian underpinnings. But at one point, he just eschewed all of that and said, no, I'm not going to follow any of that, my Judaism or the Christianity.
And dropped it like a hot potato.
Hot potato. So he was of the rising, in the 19th century, he was in this rising tide of atheism. You know, the fools that said in their heart, there is no God, and he was one of them, and it was rising. It began greatly in Germany. And so he said, I'm not going to believe in God or believe in the commandments that God gives. He just thought they were foolishness. He thought they were a social construct. If God didn't exist, then the Ten Commandments and the rules that we found in religion were actually just constructed through society.
So that's a conscious decision that he's making.
Yeah.
To just not believe in the Word of God.
Yeah, and let's look at, so he makes this decision,
right.
But it's not, he's not alone in this.
Right.
A great expositor of this also is Sigmund Freud. Now, Freud lived a little, he lived during Marx's life, but he came in at the end of Marx's life. The thing that Freud, he sets it out in clear psychological terms. They believed that the problem with society was guilt and shame. In other words, we felt guilt because of these rules that we believed came from God, and we had internalized them, and they became such a part of us. We had these other things that pressed against those rules, our own pure animalistic desires, and they would war against those rules. Mm-hmm. As a result, it created anxiety and tension. And they believed that all of society's ills came from that anxiety and tension. We didn't even know we were anxious about the things, actually, because it was so internalized. And that tension that was there made us emotionally responded to that anxiety. And so we didn't rationally think through things. So they said, look, if we could get rid of guilt and shame, then we could get rid of most of society's ills. Now, this is the beginning of... this is the beginning of socialism. This is the thought patterns behind it. And I'll say this right now, you know, at risk of people's eyes glazing over and ears shutting. But this goes back to Genesis and the lie in the garden that you will be as gods, knowing good and evil. You'll be the measure of right and wrong. You'll be the ones who decide what is good and what is evil. And so they said, that's the way we need to be. Mm-hmm. We get rid of these rules that society has created in this false thing called religion, and we'll make up our own that we won't feel guilty or shame about. It'll rid us of this irrational emotionalism that's part of everybody. And so how does Marx then take that idea? So he takes that idea and he says, okay, well, let's start on the Ten Commandments. Let's get rid of one of the Ten Commandments. And he says, well, how about thou shalt not steal? Mm. Now, thou shalt not kill would be a hard one to start with, because just wanton murder around would be a tough thing
would
to start with.
Would not be a good idea.
Yeah. But thou shalt not steal, which said there is no ownership of property. And it was a good one to start with because you had a ready-made army, which he believed were the workers. Mm-hmm. And they thought, well, why do our bosses own everything? Mm-hmm. What is owning property anyway? When we die, it all goes back in the box. What does it mean to own property? So he attacked that very idea of ownership of property. And so he comes up with then a political system that expresses that, which says socialism. He creates socialism, and he says the bottom line is that the means of production are in the hands of the state. So nobody really owns anything except the state. And what is the state then? Well, the state, that idea of the state goes back to that same garden passage. And if we are gods, there's only one thing more powerful than a god, and that's many gods. Mm-hmm. And so they held that when these gods get together, and the majority of them are the god of gods. So the state, as a representative of the majority, is the god of gods. And within the hands of the state, they will control the means of production. That is the basic theory of socialism based on the satanic lie in the garden. Mm-hmm. So they will distribute everything. They are the ones in control. Now, the fundamental means of production is people. Mm. People are the basic fundamental means of production. I mean, we don't produce anything without them. It is their labor that defines what wealth is in the world. So what socialism is saying is that people, the means of production, are within the hands of the state. Mm-hmm. Now, when you break that down, that becomes then, socialism becomes the greatest expression of slavery that the world has ever known. Mm-hmm. Every person is owned then. They are the means of production, and they are within the hands of the state.
And I just to throw in there, so that when we have plenty of data looking at the history of how socialism has worked out in the last 100 years, let's say, especially in the last 80 years. And what you spoke earlier about the end game of socialism then is that the state owns everything, including, if you want to say, the people. And that doesn't work out too well, does it?
Well, no, I mean, here's the thing is, what the state says is, look, you workers, you people, and it assumes this. It did not work out this way, but they assume that the workers want to own what the owners own.
Right.
And they say, you know, you can't steal it from them, but we will. We'll be the ones that steal this from the owners and give this to you. And as long as there are more of you than there are owners, then everything is fine because we'll steal from them until they run out of money.
But that ends up not happening entirely. The state steals from the owners, but the workers really don't get it.
They know. No, the people that are in power, the people that represent that majority, once they get in, and this is what they say about socialism, you can vote it in. You can use the majority to vote it in, but you got to shoot your way out.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
When those guys get in there, they're not coming out.
Right.
And you look across the history of the 20th century, and that's exactly what happened. Let me say this. Then there's three forms of this socialism. There is socialism, there is communism, and there is fascism.
Right.
All under the idea of Marxism.
Right.
And the getting rid of the ownership of property. Those three things are interrelated. They are all an expression of government that is the removing of the right of ownership of property. So communism, its basic rule is from each man's ability to each man's need. Mm-hmm. In other words, they're going to redistribute that wealth. How can they do that except that they own the means of production?
And did you hear what Mondami has said?
Exactly.
I don't even know what the word is for the bad landlords mm-hmm. in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to take away the buildings, to just remove them from the ownership of the landlord,
exactly.
and redistribute it to the population.
And he gets to define
right.
So now, he gets to define
right.
needy.
But this is what these people are voting for.
Exactly.
And here's where the breakdown comes from. Because this nation, and we're celebrating 250 years, this nation was built on the word of God. This is a Christian nation,
mm-hmm.
and now it's trying to be overturned with the idea of socialism, which is starting to be appealing to the younger generation because they don't have what they want.
And remember the roots. So they don't have what they want.
They exploit their greed. Right.
They exploit their lust.
Right.
They exploit that.
Right.
And it boils down. And this is what Marx said. Hey, your greed and your lust and all that is good. And those rules against it are just causing you anxiety. So let's get rid of the rules.
And those things go against the word of God.
Well, absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
But they're not seeing the difference. Because if you don't know God to begin with, your understanding is that this is all okay.
I am God.
Right. It's good for me.
Yeah.
It's good for me.
Right.
Not for thee, but good for me.
Right. You do not think of your neighbor.
It's not due
unto others
right.
as you'd have them
right.
do. Yeah.
And as a Christian nation, and we're celebrating 250 years now in our anniversary, and which is a great thing, and the Lord has blessed mm-hmm. it to come to this point, and we thank God for that. But these are some of the situations that happen to allow the door to open for socialism to start to enter into here. And it's the causes that of the foundation to be broken and to become unstable.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're coming in for elections and coming into the government offices trying to change America from the inside out. And
right,
it's
right.
the Iron Horse. And one
Trojan.
Trojan horse. There you go.
It's not
Trojan.
It's
horse.
Not locomotives.
The Iron Horse. The Iron Horse was a very wonderful capitalistic invention.
Well, you know what? They're trying
the 18th,
to destroy
19th
it
century.
Any way they can.
Yeah.
They're trying to destroy it any way they can.
Yeah.
And, you know, lack of knowledge is a big issue.
Yeah.
It's a big issue that pulls the young generation away because the parents did not keep the Bible open.
Mm-mm,
they didn't keep the Bible open. And there's a song. I just heard the song this morning on the way over here. It's called Dusty Bibles, right?
Yeah,
we have Dusty Bibles by Josiah Queen, I think his mm-hmm. name is,
mm.
Which is the truth. We don't open up the Word of God. So you don't have the knowledge of God
right.
to defend yourself against what's being spoken in the secular world.
And if you don't know, it frees you from that anxiety you feel when you say, wait a minute, God is saying this. I know this is right, but this is not what I want to do. And so I am anxious and I am tense. And like Karl Marx says, hey, this is, can I mention the last iteration of this, is which is fascism. You have socialism, communism, fascism.
Okay.
And fascism says, the basis of it is, the state is in control of private industry. So it's the same economic plan, the same economic, and we hear all the time that fascism is right wing. There is nothing right wing about fascism.
Right.
Hitler's own party was called the Nationalist Socialist Party.
Right.
But isn't nationalism right wing? Well, you don't think Putin, who's in a communist nation, cares about his nation? That's all he's after. You don't think Maduro? You don't think
let me see. Xi Jinping, is that what it is? China?
He just made himself
lifetime
president for life, or
China, right,
Mao Zedong, or right, Stalin.
Right.
They cared about. They were nationalists,
right,
and they were authoritarians.
Mm-hmm.
And they all had this same economic thing that they were going to be able to tell people who owned what and who didn't own.
Right.
And go ahead.
Right. I'm sorry, Lance. But yeah, so Colossians chapter 2, verse 8 says, see to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than on Christ.
Exactly. He's warning us.
Right.
Don't
Amen.
Be taken
yes.
captive.
Right.
By this idea.
And what's happened is that Jesus is not being spoken of enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nobody. The church is quiet while all of this has been going on.
Yeah.
We did a program back in November in 2025 because of the elections that were going on at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And we looked at what socialism was. And the definition is it's a political and economic theory that advocates for collective or government ownership, as you're talking, right, as you're saying, Lance, and administration of the means of production and distribution of goods.
Yeah, state-run slavery.
State-run slavery,
much.
Right? And promoting equality, social progress, and the idea that wealth should be distributed more equally. And that's what the younger generation is looking for because of the struggles that they might be having and the hardships.
But instead of reforming what is there and going back, they are pressing further into the idea that they are God, into the idea that get rid of these Ten Commandments, get rid of ownership of property. You know, you're not going to own anything and you're going to be happy. I mean, it's Klaus Schwab over there in Davos. I mean, that's what he said. You're not going to own anything and you're going to be happy. Well, happiness has not turned out to be the result of these theories.
I don't understand if you go and you look anywhere in the history, in the history of the creation of the world, where socialism has been successful.
It's a murder.
I was just thinking of during Joseph Stalin's reign.
Yeah.
That over 20, he oversaw the deaths of over 25 million Russians.
Yeah.
In the Soviet Union. And many more we probably don't know. But you
millions.
Can look at Mao Zedong, several other million. Why? Essentially because the people themselves began to struggle with the limitations of socialism and their own poverty and their own inability for themselves to grow past a certain point.
Right.
And they began to complain. And what happens in socialist societies when you complain? Well, you may be sent to a camp where you'll relearn how wonderful it is to be in socialism.
Now, having the state in control, that's all that the state has, the power it has, doesn't change anybody's heart.
Right.
It just bears the sword. And when people start complaining against it, all it can do is respond with the sword. It killed socialism, communism, fascism, killed 150 million of their own citizens in the 20th century. These are not soldiers from another nation. These are not criminals within their borders. These are their own innocent citizens, 150 million of them.
That's right.
Nothing in the history of the world has been that destructive. And we are toying with this idea.
It has gotten a a leg in.
Yeah.
And the lack of knowledge in this country that is allowing that to occur and not turning it back is getting scarier and scarier.
The current generations that are in higher education have been nurtured by the socialist mentalities in higher education to accept and promote that ideology. That is big. Now, we're going to go ahead and take a break. But I want to say, first of all, to you, that if this point you're saying, man, that's what I'm hearing, I don't know about that, say, look, we're not making this up.
Yeah.
We all did some research. There's this thing called the internet. You may have heard of it.
Yeah.
If you have a computer and you have access to it, you can type in all of this stuff and get the same information.
Right.
And now if many have AI as part of their search, Google and such, as part of the search engine, you can get a whole lot of data. Yeah, you still have to check it. But, okay, so anyway.
And we still have the Bible, which you open up and see what God has to say about those things as well.
Amen, and maybe do that first.
Right.
We're going to go to a break. Now, I want to tell you that I took out all the promos because of what Keith said earlier, coming in, listening to Josiah Queen, Dusty Bible, so you're going to have a chance to hear that, too, right now.
Great.
We got dust on our Bibles, brand new iPhones. No wonder why we feel this way. Hey, how you been? It's been a while, and I'm just checking in. I miss the way things used to be back in 2017, and I just miss my friend. Hey. I've been fine. I've been struggling to find some peace of mind. It's the problem of a nation, and in our generation, we're too busy. We can't find the time. Are we busy, or is it all a lie? We got time.
Welcome back from that break. Yeah, I thought you might enjoy that music. We certainly did. The first time I'd heard it. Fairly new in our setup, in our system. So,
in our index of records.
Yeah. This might interest somebody out there. Our bumper music is the relative minor of what the key of that song was in.
Oh, okay. Well, when you just heard the theme music.
Music, it was the relative minor of the key. And I'm not sure what that key was, but I thought, oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, well, wow, that's edified seven people who were listening.
1 in 12, that's right. 1 in 12 chance for that to happen.
I was just thinking, what did he say?
Yeah, that's all right. Well, if you know music, and that's where Lance's passion is in music.
Made
He's
my
a
living.
Worship leader and all that. And
what was that, Rick?
Yeah.
What?
Well, and we're going to get back. And by the way, if you are inclined to call, maybe you want to. And Lance is in charge of the phone today, so you remember how to do that. 772-221-1100 is the number to call, 772-221-1100. And there's a phone calling right now. You may want to make a comment or ask a question. So we invite you to do that.
With limited time.
Well, we'd ask you to be swift in your explication of your thoughts because we'd have to move on with the program.
Right.
But
I mentioned while we were...
Well,
okay.
There we are.
There
awesome.
It is. Go ahead.
Awesome.
Caller, you're on the air.
Well, when you said Lance was in charge of the phones, I couldn't resist calling him.
There's my listener.
But thank God Sherry answered the phone.
Hallelujah.
I missed the first half of your program, but I understand you're talking about the reemergence of socialism that springs its ugly head every 100 years. What I'm going to comment about is if you look at the primaries, I think they said 7% of the eligible voters actually voted in one of these elections in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, that's always the problem. That's how you get these people into offices is with poor, low turnout. So I just want to say that it's not as bad as it seems, but again, Hitler was never elected. Hitler was appointed by someone who thought he can control Hitler, and we all know how that turned out.
Yeah,
really. Shoot your way out.
Low numbers is a danger signal. And one last thing, as far as the president goes, when you do the math, half of Americans are not even registered to vote. And out of those that are registered to vote, half of them vote. And out of those, 50% vote for the winner and 50% vote for the loser. So in the end, you get about 15% of Americans that can say, I actually voted for the president.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is when you hear everybody, well, I didn't vote for him. Well, yeah, because about 85% of those did not vote for the winning candidate to be president. So that is true. But I enjoy the conversation, and I will continue listening.
Thank you very much for calling. God bless you.
Thank you.
That's great, man. I love
who was that?
That was John.
Oh, okay.
Oh, John.
Yeah,
John.
Shout out to John. Yeah. Hey, one faithful listener. I will say, and he's absolutely right on those statistics. Another of those scary statistics is ages 18 to 30 right now, 42% are more favorable toward socialism and that. So it's a bubble of people coming up.
But I think that's what this program is about. It's about initiating the energy to get out there and vote from the church, because the church is not making decisions for America.
Yeah,
they are allowing everybody else to do it.
They need to swim upstream of society. They need to be the deciders.
Right.
There's still that erroneous and inappropriate position people take about this whole business, separation of church and state.
Right.
And the devil has taken that. And it's even from the pulpit, the ordained, some of my peers are still saying to people, church should not be involved in politics.
No.
You know, so, but the thing is that's a lie. It's not in the Constitution.
No.
And yes, Thomas Jefferson, when he wrote to the Danbury Baptists about their concerns about government and involved in the church, he made it clear that the separation of church and state phrase that he wrote was meant to keep government out of the church, not the other way around.
Absolutely right. Because government is the institution of God.
It is, absolutely.
I mean, the 13th chapter of Romans tells us. So how could we say as Christians, I don't want to be involved in God's institution? Yeah. That doesn't make any sense.
That's why we keep saying to you church folk out there is if you're not getting involved, this is not God is not in that.
Yeah.
But he wants you to be out there.
And David, the other half of that spectrum is that the Christians who are voting on a personal level, that they, you know, oh, I don't like this guy. I don't like Trump. Right, I don't like, right? But that's where pride is coming in. I have a Christian friend of mine. The word is hates Trump because of the policies that he's using or the policies that he's instituting. And as a business owner, it affects his business. And so he hates Trump.
Yeah.
But Trump is the only president supporting Christians in this country.
Yeah.
So why are you, as a Christian, hating somebody who's supporting God?
He may be a business owner first and a Christian
second.
Well,
that's the problem. And this is where
I don't want
this is where there's a downside, a downfall from your personal opinions or your personal feelings, which is pride, getting in the way of your relationship with God.
Speaking of people acting individually, I mentioned to you, I wanted to mention about Karl Marx and how his life, his individual life, was the expression of his belief. Mm-hmm. Now, you can read a lot of treatises, a lot of different things, pamphlets put out about Karl Marx that whitewash who he is.
Mm-hmm.
I would tell you, look up, Google Jordan Peterson and Karl Marx. Jordan Peterson has got a lecture where he interviews a guy on writing a book about Karl Marx. And this is the truth. When you look at the writings of people that wrote to Karl, of the people that were surrounded him and how they really said and talked about him at the time, Karl Marx absolutely believed that these conventions, these social conventions, let's get rid of them. He didn't bathe. He went long periods of time where he wouldn't bathe, to the point that he got sores on his body and everything. Mm-hmm. And he was married. He was married, but they lived an open marriage. They lived a bohemian lifestyle. I mean, the guy was, he didn't want to work.
He had to smell.
Oh.
How do you live in the same house?
How do you live the bohemian lifestyle, this orgiastic lifestyle, when you don't even bathe? But they did. He didn't want to work. Engels was his partner, whose family was somewhat wealthy, and that's where money was given to him. He just solicited money all the time. His father, the Lutheran, now this is what I found interesting, he wrote to his son. He said, son, he said, something's wrong. Something's wrong with you. And he says, I don't know what has a hold of you, but whatever it is evil.
Mm.
And he even mentions in the letter, he says, the demonic, something has got a hold of you.
Right.
And when you really think about this, if his father was right, and I believe that he was, there was a demonic force that was writing down these ideas and how to implement them in society through Karl Marx. And in the 20th century, we have adopted that philosophy and that political philosophy, the political philosophy of demons. And I just study Karl Marx's life, study what his father said, study what the other people said around him, and you'll find out what the source is. You'll find the fruit of his personal labors and see that they do not follow any kind of happy existence at all.
Well, when you look at the history of socialist countries and that as you see those countries move through their experience with socialism, as it becomes more of a grind on the people, more of an established ideology, you see the gross decline. We talked earlier about the 25 million or more people that Joseph Stalin killed of his own people because they did not support the socialism and the communism.
The Ukrainian war today is partially a result. He killed those Ukrainians by starving them to death.
Mm-hmm.
He actually put up posters because he was starving them. They were the breadbasket of the world. Ukrainian farming was the greatest. And he said, Stalin needed control of it. And so he took the Ukrainians, put them in the gulags and starved them in their villages. And they would put up posters that says, it is not right to eat your babies. I mean, this is actually a poster that was posted in this socialist nation in the 1930s and 40s because they were starving and they were doing that. And these are the people that he killed.
Yeah. And at the same time, the other issue that I have with socialism, and again, this too is provable in history, is that when you have a governmental entity that believes it owns everything and every means of production are owned by the state, it also regulates innovation, meaning it kills it. Because if you're here in America, if you have an entrepreneurial spirit and you have an idea you want to develop and you have the freedom to do that, get the resources, get the investors, you know, not only are you going to, yes, if that product takes off or that service takes off, that you're going to personally benefit.
Yeah.
Your financial stability is going to increase and all that. But the other thing is you're going to be employing people who are going to have jobs.
Exactly.
And as your product or service develops and becomes even more popular, the people working with you, at least this theory, and it's mostly been worked out, is that they will also have an improvement in their financial stability. But not just that, but one's satisfaction as being a part of an entity, an innovative entity that's growing, and is not just the money. It's the peace you have, the joy you have, and all that. All of that, when you have a capitalistic society, you have a lot of that going on.
Freedom.
But in a socialist society, that is squelch.
Yeah, yeah. You give up your freedom for what you think is safety and what you think is provision.
Yeah.
I want to add this, though, in this program. Capitalism is not a perfect system.
No, it's not.
It is, however, based on the idea of that you own the fruit of your labors. You and God is an inalienable right he gave us and created us with the idea that we shouldn't steal, therefore the right to own property, and capitalism is based on that. It has, however, fatal flaws.
Yeah.
And those flaws can be exploited. And I'm going to tell you one fatal flaw that we indulged and that we have exploited in the 20th century. And that is in 1913 when we adopted the Federal Reserve. The Federal Reserve now, our basis of wealth comes not from innovation, invention, and building of wealth in terms of something practical. It comes from debt. Debt is the way that capitalism has built itself in the 20th century. Every dollar you have is borrowed from the Federal Reserve. And the leveraging of that debt and the control of that debt and the derivatives that you have of that debt and the market that mobilizes that debt, that is a flaw, and it's been exploited, and people are noticing it and feeling it. So I will say, but it needs to be fixed rather than abandoned. The capitalistic system needs to be fixed rather than abandoned, because abandonment is the abandonment of the inalienable right of ownership of property, of God himself in this.
Amen. I want to shift to Keith a little bit, because you're going to get more into the scriptural foundations that we want to talk
about.
Well,
you know, it's about the land. And if we go into Hosea chapter 4, if you go into Hosea, and what is God saying to Hosea? He says, there is no faithfulness, no love, no acknowledgement of God in the land.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
There is only cursing, lying, and murder, stealing, and adultery. Mm. Does that sound familiar?
It does.
Yeah.
They break all bounds, and bloodshed follows bloodshed.
Yeah. They break all bounds. Those things that hold them, they want to get rid of.
They keep moving the goal line.
Yeah.
They keep moving the goal line.
We are God, knowing good and evil.
Amen.
And they don't want it. The socialist doesn't want God in the conversation at all.
No.
So there is no God in socialism.
This is the truth.
Right.
They don't want the truth.
In Proverbs chapter 14, first verse, it says, the wise woman builds her house, but with her own hands, the foolish one tears it down.
Yeah. Mm. Yes.
Boy.
And isn't that socialism, a tearing down of the house?
That's
tearing
down exactly of the nation. What it is.
Kicking down your own barn. Yeah,
it's more of that stealing, killing, and destroying.
Right, and that's why I don't understand where I've had conversations with Christians and Democrats, okay, I can say Democrats, because you know what? We're talking about the Democratic Party turning into the Socialist Communistic Party.
Yeah.
And that is exactly what's happening. And that is, we're trying to make that an awareness. As a Christian, communism takes God out of the picture. As a Christian, socialism takes God out of the picture. As a Christian, we need to get out and vote in 2026 with the midterms nationwide for the church to get up and vote.
Can I say something about that when you're talking about democracy and Democrats?
Now, I'm going to say something. The party is changing, literally, right in front of our eyes.
Here's the interesting thing. Democracy... We were never a democracy.
We're a republic.
We were a republic, constitutional theocratic republic.
Right, right.
We are not a democracy.
Right.
And within the name of democracy itself, now I'm going to enrage, afraid.
Here I go.
We're telling what we believe is the truth.
So in the term democracy, it's a...
And you know, Lance, before you get started, I just want to say... The term that they keep that the Democrats keep saying is that the Republicans are trying to ruin the democracy of America. That is their phrase.
Yeah, which it should be. We are not a democracy. The democracy carries within it a godless government. In the name itself, it's demos kratia, which means democratia, democracy. And demos meaning people, kratos meaning power or rule. The people are the rulers, the standard by which all things are measured. The people are the measure of right and wrong. They bestow and take away rights. So in the word demo, the people rule, is the idea that God is not the one who gives the rights.
Right.
It's the people that are in power and give the rights. And our founders, we hate that. That is not the way it is. We have to have an established absolute right or wrong that comes from our Creator as we can see through nature. And if we live by that, then we can self-govern ourselves according to the rules and the laws that we see in nature. But democracy says, no, 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 no. We get rid of all of that. The people get to decide. Now, where have we heard that before? You will be as gods. You will know good and evil. This is why Tim Kaine, the senator within that committee meeting, says, oh, no, no, we don't get our rights from God.
Mm-hmm.
We make the laws. We make the rights right here. And Ted Cruz liked to drop his teeth when he heard that. He said, what, did you not read the Declaration of Independence?
Tim Kaine up in Minnesota.
Yeah.
With all the fraud that's going on in Minnesota.
Hillary's running mate.
Right?
Yeah.
Hillary's running
mate. You're talking
about
Tim Walz.
Tim Walz.
No.
No,
he's
making it confusing. Tim Kaine is a senator from...
Massachusetts or...
Yeah. Oh, okay.
You're thinking Tim Walz is the governor
of
Minnesota.
Right, my bad.
Sorry about that.
Yeah. My bad.
Okay.
Yeah.
We don't want to confuse our listeners any more than they already are.
Right.
And we got about 4 minutes, 5 minutes before we have to say goodbye, so...
I hate to bring that up about democracy, but I will tell you what, it carried within its very name and in its very idea, that's why it could support slavery.
Yeah.
That's how the Democrats supported slavery in the 19th century.
Well, here's the other thing is that you have an influx of immigrants running for Congress and running for the House of Representatives. And they do not have Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior.
Yeah.
They do not have God. They're coming from other countries with other gods, with Baals, as they used to be called, right? Baals from the Israelites, right?
Yeah, B-A-A-L, Baal.
And the foundation is being broken in the United States from Christian beliefs by people coming in from other countries and forcing their religions upon us.
And they have rules that they believe comes from their God.
Right.
The problem that they have is, and that they don't have, that Jesus Christ brings us, is the idea of equality. They are not equal. They all have caste systems. They all have this. What Christ does is he comes to us. We don't get to him in our abilities. He comes to us and makes us all equal in our inability. And in that, we're equal. That's the equality that's talked about in the Declaration. And without Christ, the idea of him coming to us instead of us through our abilities getting to him, then without that, you don't have a philosophy of equality. So they bring in these other religions, but there's no equality in them.
That's right. Yeah.
And they can lord it over others.
John Adams, one of the founding fathers, and had said, "Our Constitution is made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate for the government of any other."
Yeah.
And let us, and this be honest too, again, if you're hearing this, you're saying, "I'm not sure that's true." You can do the research we've done. Yeah. It's all out there. But that it was, when you look at the founding fathers, that, and as we will say and believe, God used them, the Holy Spirit led them to form and shape this nation, gave them the words and the inspiration to write these wonderful documents, including the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution, with all of its amendments, that these people led by God, these are all Christian men. Mm-hmm. Now, we have more groups than Christians living in America, but America was shaped and formed around Christian Judeo-Christian law, rules, and the whole biblical roots was formed by them for Christians.
Right, right.
Now others want to live here. Now here's the thing:
you can't escape that.
If you're a Muslim or you're, I mean, Lord knows what else, or maybe you're nothing, you want to move here, fine. But the understanding is, you will come if you want to be an American. You will become an American. Yeah, we don't want you to lose your cultural heritage or anything. You keep your language, but learn English. But the point is that you must submit.
Yeah.
To being an American.
Yeah.
You
must
can't
submit
reject
to a God who came to us.
Amen.
You don't have to even become Christian or believe in that. But this is the foundation of this society, and you have to become, at least understand that philosophy and say, okay, I want to live within the branches of this thing because it provides me shelter. It Amen. Provides me wonderful things.
Well, in the state of Texas, they're going back into the school system. They just opened up that the Bible has to be taught in the state of Texas in the elementary schools. So this is where the foundation starts.
Yeah.
And this is where we have to be going to because the education system has completely faltered.
Well, and maybe we'll learn enough by reading the Bible that we should get the government out of our education.
Right.
Let's see if
that's
that can
exactly
happen.
Right.
Well, one of Trump's things was to get rid of the Department of Education.
Yes.
Although he's been doing a pretty good job of that, slowly but surely. Yeah. So,
bring literacy back to education. How about that?
Yeah, that's a great idea. So many graduates in high school can't write cursive. They can't do math.
Can't read.
They have virtually no sense of who we are as a nation and all this other stuff. But anyway, well, gosh, I got to say this. There's a lot more we could say, but time is running out.
Yeah.
And I hope we've said something that's helpful to you today, given you something to think about, even if in receiving it, maybe your first response was not joy, which is often the case. But maybe to hang on to that, ask God to open up to you his truth about what you've heard today. And thank you for listening. And we'll be back with you next week, God willing.
Amen.
Thank you for joining us. Tune in next Tuesday at 11 a.m. for another edition of A Biblical Response. If you have issues of the day you would like us to explore, email us at WCNO@WCNO.com. In the subject line, write David@abiblicalresponse. Remember, when you are challenged by what you see and hear going on around you, pray and invest in God's Word for guidance.